101.7 FM.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air as we discuss an issue today that I believe is vital for us to understand. We're going to be talking about an issue today, what Christians should know about Islam. Perhaps you say, Islam doesn't bother me. Perhaps you are under the misguided belief that somehow, some way, Islam is a sister religion. As Rick Warren, a number of years ago, Saddleback Community Church in California, made the statement, he'd have the Islamic imams to come into his church and do the call to prayer by Islamic imams from his church pulpit. And he said that Islam was a sister religion. Is it a sister religion? What does the Bible say? What does the Quran say? Are they compatible? Are they in conflict? What should we know about Islam? I believe that when we see Islam coming to the point that it has in the Western Hemisphere, and especially focused now on the United States of America for the total control of the nation. Keep in mind the word Islam simply means submission. It has been the goal of the Islamic jihadist for over 1,400 years to bring the world to submission to Islam. That's the goal, that's the term, that's Islam. And right at this very moment across America, the Islamic jihadists are bragging about having about 1,100 candidates running for every known office in the United States of America, local, state, and national, running for office. They are getting a good foothold, so also along with the socialist Marxist communists known as Democrats today, in our political system. That is the goal. I recall just a few years back when the then head of the Council on American Islamic Relations, domiciled in Tampa, Florida, made the statement on the CARE website for Muslims to run for any office available, even if it meant running for dog catcher, his terms, not mine, and get you into the political system. Also remember that same website, CARE, from Tampa, Florida, which is now washed. It is no longer there because it's been taken down. But on that website, he admonished Islamics, as you walk down the street in any city, if someone spits on the street, call a police officer and swear that they were trying to spit on you so that you will come across as the underdog that needs to be protected and watched over through our political and or our legal system. So, ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's time that we come to grips with what Islam says, what Islam believes. I have had the privilege of publishing two books, The Coming Global Islamic Invasion, based on the text found in Ezekiel 38 and 39. I've also published a book entitled Is Islam Tolerant, 25 chapters, 324 pages, that I believe is should be informative and a benefit and a blessing and encouragement to every Christian, conservative, and patriot. I'm looking at the front of that book, and on the front of the book I use some photographs of some actual demonstrations from Islam. It says, behead those who insult Islam. Another one says, be prepared for the real Holocaust. Another one says, slay all of those who insult Islam. And I could go on and on. But let me just give you a little overview of the table of contents before we get into our further monologue and then open our telephone lines for your call, dialogue, and discussion. The table of contents starts with, Islam and, and then the others would be following. Islam and Allah, Islam and Quran, Islam and abrogation. What does abrogation mean? It means that some of the earlier surahs, the earlier chapters, are abrogated, changed, abridged, in order to displace them for later Quranic verses or surahs, as it's called. Islam and the Holy Bible. Islam says that the Bible is corrupt, that Allah gave the Quran to clarify and to correct what the Christians had done in the corruption of the Bible. Deception. Islam has the authorization through Allah and the Quran to lie to you if we get you to believe and embrace what they're saying. Islam the sinner, Muhammad the sinner. Islam and Muhammad the sinner. Muhammad declared that he was a sinner, need to be saved. He prayed to Allah, not to God. Had he prayed to the right God, Muhammad would have been saved. We would not be talking about Islam as a danger today. Islam and Jesus, they disbelieve that Jesus, say that Jesus is not God. He is not in any way, shape, form, or fashion. He is not deity. His crucifixion was a lie. And I could go on and on. Islam and Mary, Islam and salvation, Islam and hell, Islam and the Trinity, Islam and the Jews, Islam and the sword, Islam and polygamy, Islam and women, Islam and human rights, Islam and jihad, Islam and tolerance, Islam and dialogue. And I could go on and on and on. But ladies and gentlemen, it is the labor, the results of the labor of hundreds and hundreds and thousands of hours to produce the research, to write, and to publish this book. You can go on the website, conservative.edu, scroll down to the bookstore, and go to the what section about Islam, and you'll find, in fact, this month, there's a special on my two books, The Coming Global Islamic Invasion and Is Islam Tolerant? The two of them together you can get for a $20 purchase and pay for the shipping. Normally it would be $20-some-odd for the first book, and the second book about $16. So you wind up with a good dual purchase that will save a lot of money. And I recommend that you order that book today. Those two books. In fact, you'll find a drop-down sheet on the bookstore where you can get the special, the dual published books. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's the truth book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, says, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And ladies and gentlemen, without the truth of the Word of God, we would be enslaved, without any hope, without any help, without any vision, without any possibility of salvation. I'm thankful for the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." And ladies and gentlemen, you'll not find truth any place but in the Word of God. It is my desire, ladies and gentlemen, that you understand what we're saying today, and first of all, that you say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, so that there would be an illumination of your heart to understand, to grasp spiritual truths by work of the Holy Spirit in your life. John 17:17. A good text, ladies and gentlemen, says, "Thy word is truth." It's the truth of God's word that enables the Christian, the conservative, the patriot, that stands by the word. And if the patriot does, that's fine. If the patriot doesn't, that does not apply. But I'm using that as a broad brush, that whether you're a patriot, a conservative, or a Christian, there must be the recognition that God's word is the final say-so on truth. Ladies and gentlemen, truth is relevant and real. Psalm 117, verse 2, the Bible says the truth of the Lord endures forever. However, it was the secularist George Orwell that said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And I find that to be factually true even today. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that it is necessary for us to understand some of the things that's taking place in the world, to recognize what is happening biblically, because we see and understand in the final days, according to the Word of God, there will be one that will step on the scene called the Antichrist. And ladies and gentlemen, it's relevant with the subject today, because according to Daniel, the 11th chapter, beginning with about verse 31 and following, I believe the Bible is very, very clear that the Antichrist will be a sodomite, that is homosexual, Islamic. That is pretty clear from the study of Daniel, the 11th chapter, beginning of verse 31. The Antichrist will mirror Antiochus Epiphanes IV, which walked into the temple and desecrated the temple with the slaughtered pig, sprinkled the pig's blood of the pig's head on the temple throne. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we're seeing a replay getting ready for that. When you look at Revelation, the 13th chapter, you find that that man of sin, the lawless one, the Antichrist, will be the one that will rule the whole world. So you say, well, what are you saying? I'm saying that based on my study of the Word of God, I believe that the coming Antichrist will be a homosexual Islamic jihadist that will be in charge of the globe after the rapture of the church, slaughtering every Christian, every Jewish person on the face of the globe as much as possible. That will be the purpose of the Antichrist. Ladies and gentlemen, I go back to a statement. We need to get back to truth. Get back to truth. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. Listen, we're talking about truth today. Every day on Truth Broadcast Network, we're talking about truth. Let's Face the Issues is a broadcast that's designed to bring truth to the ears of the hearer that we might be edified, encouraged, illumined, and educated in what is happening, and therefore be ready. The Bible says in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, that we're wrestling against flesh and not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. That's talking about the demonic battle. And we're in a demonic battle today. That demonic battle is high and very visible and very seen today in the United States of America and, yes, around the globe. We need to understand that we're doing that battle. And truth is needed. I'm looking at another headline that says, most younger Americans say there's no such thing as absolute truth. 55% of that millennial age group say that each person determines his or her own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, I default to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. That's my challenge each and every day on Let's Face the Issues. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner. Brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions for about the homeowner brand as well as the professional landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how can I find that? Good question. 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, Tools for Time. It's located right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a benchmark and identifier. There's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole is the U.S. flag, Old Glory, flying 24-7. Find that flag, the flagpole, the base of that flagpole, you find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you recall, as I touched on at the earlier portion, just a fragment of the monologue about Rick Warren. Rick Warren was a high-profile preacher. Rick Warren was a preacher that embraced so much that it's hard to discuss in just one broadcast. But one of the things that was so antithetical to anything that's called true biblical Christianity was that he put himself in the position of embracing Islam. He coined the term Chrislam, C-H-R-I-S-L-O-M, Chrislam. He said that Islam and Christianity are sister religions. My question is to you, it's three or fourfold. Is that true? That meaning Islam and Christianity. Is Islam and Christianity sister religions? Is Islam a religion? These are things that I want us to understand and try to cut through the chase, get to the bottom line in the broadcast, because it's time Christians stop being silent. going to talk about during the course of the broadcast, a particular preacher in Michigan that took a stand publicly. I'm going to talk about the broadcast today, some of the things that the state of Texas is doing publicly to eradicate and stop the Islamic globalist jihadist movement in the state of Texas. We'll talk about some of the things that's happening, like in the state of Florida, where Governor DeSantis has said that the Muslim Brotherhood and Council on American Islamic Relations are terrorist organizations and not welcome in the state of Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, do you believe the same thing about Christians? Do you believe that Muslims and Christianity are the same? Do you believe that they're compatible? Do you believe that Islam and the Islamic jihadists coming into America, do you believe that they're compatible with American culture? Do you believe that the Islamic jihadists coming into America will embrace our constitutional republic form of government? Do you believe, ladies and gentlemen, that they will live peacefully in our nation today? We're asking the questions to set the stage. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that Christians and conservatives and pastors ought to be concerned about, listen, ought to be concerned about the rapid rise of Islam in America. Now, I'm thankful to say, and we'll talk about it, Lord willing, on the broadcast tomorrow, the H-1B visas and what President Trump is doing for cancellation of about 300,000 present visas in America, that's those that have overstayed their visitor's visa or otherwise. We'll talk about the H-1B visas and what it's done to our society today in bringing in so many from around the world, and many of them are Islamics. We'll talk about that on tomorrow's broadcast. Thought I'd just give you a heads up on the subject. But ladies and gentlemen, do you believe that the Islamics that have come into America, Minnesota is filled with them, Michigan, New York City, New York State by a large degree, Texas being overflowed and overrun with it now. We find across our nation today, Islam has determined that 2026 and 2027 is the year designated for them to take control and dominate the Western Hemisphere, and in particular the United States of America. Are Islamics real Americans? Listen, I'm not saying do they have visas. I'm not saying have they been naturalized and have a green card, now they're called citizens. But I'm asking the question, do you believe that Islamics are real Americans? Do you believe it's possible for an Islamic to relate to the American Constitution? Do you believe that the Islamics should integrate and not segregate in our nation? They have isolated themselves from the general public. They have developed their own legal system. They have developed their own law enforcement system. They believe that they are over and above anything that would be called constitutional law in America. And we'll talk about that during the broadcast today. Ladies and gentlemen, should our system of government, should our legal system continue to allow Islamics to come into America, or those that are already in America, should they be allowed to run for public office? Let me just give you an illustration to back up that question that makes it so prominent in my mind. In the early 1960s, the Netherlands had open border policy. Islamic jihadists came in by the hundreds of thousands. They started infiltrating the system. They started running for office. They started taking office positions. And finally, it was determined that somehow, some way, they were taking too much control. Garrett Wilder, the chair parliamentarian at that time, said that we'll just shut the doors and we'll not allow any more Islamics to come in. They discovered, he discovered, and the parliament there discovered, there, speaking of the Netherlands, discovered that they had too many Islamics in office to pass legislation to close the doors. And that was about 1990, 1995. In other words, it took about 30 years in the nation of the Netherlands to realize they had been overrun, an impossibility to reverse it, controlled by the Islamic jihadist. In fact, in my book, Is Islam Tolerant, the 25th chapter is a reprint of a speech from Geert Wilders from the Netherlands as the chair parliamentarian. He's back in office in the Netherlands, and he's recently made another speech pleading with America not to make the mistake that the Netherlands made in allowing that overrun with the Islamic jihadists. Ladies and gentlemen, we must know, we must recognize the enemy and resist the enemy. And the greatest enemy to America today is found in those that are the socialist, Marxist, communist, known as the BLM Democrats, and the Islamic jihadist. And I'm amazed, ladies and gentlemen, if I can say this, of the two holding hands, collaborating together. Even I watched with, how would you say, a little glee and at the same time wonderment. Recently I watched where there were some signs up in some of the demonstrations, queers for Islam, and realizing not they don't realize that if the Islamics got in control, they would be headed summarily or shoved off the top of buildings. That's the way they're treated in every Islamic nation. But ladies and gentlemen, we must recognize the enemy. I believe Christians are, as one writer put it, let me quote, one writer's headline said this, Christians are sleepwalking into Islam. Sleepwalking into Islam. So I want us to briefly, by the way, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We'd love to hear from you. Are you concerned about Islam? Are you concerned about its taking over in the United States of America? Do you see it as being a danger? Listen, you can go back as far as the book of Nehemiah, and you find in the book of Nehemiah, the third chapter, you'll find the three major enemies against Nehemiah and his 49,952 people working shoulder to shoulder, according to chapter 3, working shoulder to shoulder to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem. The three major enemies were what we call Islamic jihadists today. They were from the Arabic background, and they were trying to destroy Nehemiah and his workers to prevent the wall around Jerusalem from being rebuilt. I'm talking, we're talking about now going back in history from the Islamic jihadists. Go back and look at Genesis, the 16th and 17th chapter, and you will find that Islam is the outgrowth of Ishmael, which was the was not the known, not the recognized, not the God promised son of Abraham and Sarah. We need to recognize that as a result of that, the Bible says in that 17th chapter, verse 10, 11, and 12, that Islam, I'm quoting, paraphrasing, would be as a wild man with his hand against every nation and hated of all people. That's a pretty good commentary on what we're talking about today with Islam. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. Love to hear from you. What is it you know about Islam? What is it you think? What is it you've been told? What is it your professor has told you in the university that you perhaps have been in? What is it you hear from your pulpit? Do you hear anything from your pulpit, ladies and gentlemen, that is in any way enlightening about the dangers of Islam? Listen, I'm concerned about it. To me, it is a passion because I see the handwriting on the wall as the fifth chapter of the book of Daniel talked about, the handwriting on the wall. I see what's happening. And listen very carefully. Islam didn't come in yesterday. Islam didn't just start their crusade yesterday to dominate the world. It's been happening now for over 1,400 years. And they, Islam, on a national basis, international basis, global basis, they've been willing to incrementally gain one foothold after the other, incrementally take control. And you've heard me say before, and I published it in my book, Is Islam Tolerant, that by the time Islam reaches the level of 2 to 6% in any city, any state, any nation, they rise up to take control. They are now in, through Boca Raton, as it is called, I think that's the term, I've forgotten the exact term, I've misquoted it, I think. But anyway, the Islamics in Africa and Northern Africa, they're taking control by the thousands. They're going in, burning churches, beheading pastors, and slaughtering the Christians to take control and to bring about fear, to bring about submission, that all of Africa would be submitted to Islam. And they've been doing that now for some time. Nothing's been said on an international level. a few occasional articles you'll find on Christian networks or Christian news, but the general public's not been informed. The political process has not said anything. But let's get down to some rudimentary, fundamental, elemental notions about Islam and what they believe. And I think we need to do a little comparison of Islam and Christianity. Let me do that for a moment. For example, who is Jesus Christ? From the Christian perspective, Christology, that is the study of who Christ is the centrality of Christianity. No Jesus, no Christian. No Jesus, no church. No Jesus, no salvation. No Jesus, no heaven. That's the bottom line in a very simplistic form. But in Islam, Jesus Christ is not deity. In Islam, Jesus Christ is not God. In fact, in Islam, they laugh at the Christian. They say that how could Allah have a son and his name be Jesus when Allah wasn't even married, so how could he have a son? Laughter and mockery at the Christians when we talk about Jesus Christ being the Son of the living God. Islam says Jesus Christ is not divine, that Jesus Christ is not God. Islam says that Allah was not married and therefore he could not have a son. That's almost laughable because, ladies and gentlemen, when you trace it down and ask Islam and Allah, who is Allah? Allah is a fake, false, phony God. Allah was the one of 360 gods in the Kaaba box out in Mecca that when Muhammad looked at the 360 gods, he selected the moon god of the Bedouins of that day called Allah. Allah is fake. Allah is phony. Allah is not a god. In fact, it gets a little under my skin when anything happens and there's the scream of Allah Akbar and then the media tells us, well, they're just saying God is great. No, they're not saying God is great. They're saying Allah Akbar means Allah is the greatest of gods. Allah is the greatest of gods. Allah Akbar. Allah is the greatest of gods. Not saying God is great. They're not recognizing holy God as we do. May I say to you, Islam claims that Jesus was not crucified. Listen, the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is the very focus of biblical Christianity. If Jesus died and did not rise again, we'd still be dead in our trespasses and sins. If Jesus Christ died and was not God, then his shed blood on Calvary's cross is not efficacious to cover our sins. Jesus Christ is God, come in the flesh, died on the cross, buried, the third day rose again. But under Islam and Islamic teaching, they say that the Bible, Christian Bible, has been corrupted over the centuries, and Allah had to give them the Quran, which the Quran in their eyes is correct teachings that should be followed and not the Bible. Hear me, Islam is not in any way to be compared to Christianity. Islam is not, hear me, Islam is not, N-O-T, a religion. Islam is an ideology, a way of life. In the mosque, it is not their place of worship only. It is the place for their war planning. The mosque is the place for their storage of their weapons for war. Islam is the place, the mosque is the place where the jihadists, the Islamics are trained to carry out jihad. May I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the comparison, the contrast of Islam and Christianity. Islam says the Quran is from Allah and not the Christian Bible because it's been corrupted. Islam claims that Jesus was not crucified, that the Christians put a look-alike, that the Christians put somebody that looked like Jesus on the cross, that he did not die, that he was hidden so that after the crucifixion, it would look like he had risen again. Hear me. Islam says that a fake went to the cross, not Jesus. Jesus was hidden. Then after the crucifixion, Jesus came walking out as though he had been crucified, died, and rose again. They're claiming, ladies and gentlemen, that the Word of God, the Bible, as they use the term, is corrupted and not to be believed, but Allah has given the perfect, pure form of the anything that would be called the Bible, and that's the Quran. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. We have our Bible now for thousands of years, and what we have in what is called the Quran came about in about the 7th century, and even at that, after Muhammad died, each new caliph, that is the like the Pope system, each new leader would call in all the Qurans of that era, burn them, and issue new Quranic surahs based on the fact that Allah was telling them something different, something new. Ladies and gentlemen, the Quran is not the Bible. The Quran is not holy. The Quran is a corrupt, evil, wicked book. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand there's no compatibility with Islam and Christianity. There's no compatibility with the Quran and the Bible. That's an impossibility. That's a lie. It is a deceit. And every Christian, every conservative, every patriot needs to recognize that and realize that while we yet have opportunity and time to do so. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about this further after the top of the hour news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.